WTBR, KLAV, 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV, Las Vegas.
Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dancer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, ProgressiveVP.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Dancer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer, and Frank is here tonight.
I can confirm that. Oh, I'm here, but not quite all there.
I can confirm that. All right.
Of course, that's nothing new, is it?
We had an interview a couple months ago with a guy named Sammy Katz, who is a gambler from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. And we got a listener comment about it.
What did that listener comment say?
All right. Well, in regards to the Sammy Katz interview, he said that he knew him, and at absolutely no time did he ever think of that this gentleman had a gambling problem. Which
from both of those, I know him and I agree.
Yeah, which backed up what we discovered in the interview. His further comment was that he would like us to get, at some point in the future, a real problem gambler that's gone through GA for contrast.
Interesting. Let me think about that.
So anyway, there it is. We are considering your request. I got a funny a question from a listener. There was a word that I used in the show close for last week.
Some of your show closes have total nonsense words in them.
Well,
many of them, actually.
They're all references, but it just depends on whether you get the reference.
Yeah, if you know Zulu.
Zulu or Babylon 5, you know, Star Trek.
Some people may not know Zulu.
Anyway, okay. this one actually comes to us from history. Obviously, the theme of the last week's show close was, you know, things that were going on in the 12th century. So there was a line in it where I said, more sacred than the holy preface. And the listener thought that I had said precipice, which... but was not true. But the holy preface, if you don't know what it is, was actually the foreskin of Jesus, or that's what they claimed. At one point, not less than 18 churches claimed that they had the holy preface. One of the queens of France wore it on her finger as a good luck charm, and there was a lot of debate and, in fact, even violence over whether or not it ascended into heaven with Jesus at his death or remained on earth. And I thought of, you know, all the various holy relics, that one was kind of the one most ripe for comedy value. So that's why I used that word.
Huh, I would have thought he was Jewish. He would have been circumcised as an infant. Maybe, I don't know when that came along. Maybe.
But anyway,
my
so
history.
That's,
so I don't know.
If you look it up online, it's a preface.
All right, not, this is more than we wanted to know.
I'm sure it was. But it was
too much information.
Question.
How do we say that in the 12th century?
I don't know. Right. Actually, in the 12th century, we just burn you at the stake for too much information.
No, that was the Inquisition. That came a couple centuries later.
I'll just go ahead and announce.
Go ahead.
I think it would probably, you know, last week just a couple weeks, I rolled out these science segments, and you brought up a very good point, which is, you know, this show is about stuff that's proven on gambling, things that are tried and true. And I, of course, always am looking for new opportunities to bring research that's being done, you know, in the regular community by scientists, social scientists, psychologists, and trying to adapt it. But that really isn't something we should be doing on air. So I'm going to go ahead and cancel the science segments, but I'm only canceling them for the radio show. What I think I will do is move them to an online forum where we can hash it out and discuss if any of the stuff that I'm digging up might have some applicability to video poker, Right now, I'm toying with the idea of doing it on Dan Paymar's forum because it's fully moderated and it isn't getting very much action right now. So, it, you know, if we took it there, the forum would be just about that and not much else. And that's my plan. But I am going to be canceling the science segments, and I think that's probably best for the show.
Okay, all good. Right. And good. So our guest tonight is Richard Munchkin. We're going to start in about 10 minutes. And his book, Gambling Wizards, is fascinating. It's an interview with eight really, really, really sharp gamblers. And there's some lessons to be learned from that. And so I read the book the third time getting ready for this interview and was continually amazed by it. I want to start a little bit earlier on the commercials than usual, partly because this is the first of the month. Well, tomorrow is anyway. And so the casinos are having brand new promotions for July. So it's going to take a little bit longer than just saying, yep, they're doing the same thing as they did last week. The South Point. South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else anywhere. They call it the point of more return. And they also have signs up all over saying, we love you more. I think this is, they looked at the stations, casinos, the stations would say, we love locals. And the South Point says, we love locals more. So I don't know. It sounds like a pissing contest, but I don't know. Good. They're sponsors, so I should probably not say that. All right. In the last week, thousands of people got these flyers, giving them $160 in free money. The way it works on four separate weeks, starting tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, you go in and you pick up $15 of free play. And if you do that, then between Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the next week, you get $25 of free play. And this goes for four separate weeks. So if you do all of that, that's $160, and which is in addition to your normal monthly mailer. And all you have to do to get this is to have been on their list, have a card, have had some play in the last 6 months or a year. Those of you who don't have such a card, if the idea of going in and collecting $160 of free money is appealing to you, then you may want to consider getting a card there. The in the past, when people would go in and pick up the minimum on this special offers, then they tended to get not on that list in the future. So I would recommend you play, I don't know, at least $100 to coin in each time you go pick it up. You still have a considerable advantage. They have enough games that are over 100%, including the slot club, that there's a little variance, but no significant risk. So anyway, it's free money. It's a good deal. Coming Monday, July 4th, double point days for video poker, 10 times points for slots. And this is midnight to midnight. And they are my main place to do video poker classes. I do two semesters a year there. The next semester, the date has been finalized. It's going to start on August 31st, which is a Wednesday. And it's the location's going to change. It's going to be in the Grandview Lounge rather than in the showroom. And so as we get closer to that, we'll talk about that more. Silverton, which is 2 miles up the road from the South Point. Their senior drawings have a new format. It used to be, as in this week, they would have five separate drawings where 10 people got $100. And so if you played a lot, you would win $400 or $500 because you get played, called. And so that promotion was worth about 0.4% to the player, which was one of the main reasons to play at Silverton. Starting July 4th, the next one, they're going to have two senior drawings a day. They're calling 50 people each time rather than 10. And you can win both times if you get drawn. You get $50 if you're drawn, and you get a multiplier. Usually the multiplier is 1x, meaning no multiplier at all, but it can go up as high as 10x, so you can get $500. So it's more total money they're giving away, more separate winners they're giving away. So that's going to be But those of us who wanted ever $300 or $400 or $500 every week, I'm probably not gonna have anymore. So probably that was a problem.
Yeah, I just realized that all of our sponsors are in the extreme south of Las Vegas. You know what that means?
Well, I'm not sure Palms is in the extreme south.
Oh, well, it is south.
Well, it's south of Flamingo, San Flamingo.
All right, 75% of our sponsors are in the extreme
okay,
south.
Okay, and where are you locating videopoker.com?
Oh, that's clearly south.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea where their offices are?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, good. let's go on. At the Silverton, every day in July, if you earn 500 points, this allows you to pull a ticket out of a gas can, and you can get up to a $100 gas card. So it hasn't started yet, so I don't really know how much these are worth. If you're paying $500, they probably can't afford to give you too much. I'm not sure. So we'll earn these a couple days, and we'll give a report next month as to how much it is. This Monday there is also 2x point days. And my calendar gives me two extra 2x point days on the Saturdays, on the 9th and 23rd. I'm not sure if that is specific to my calendar, specific to people who get calendars, or if it's to everybody. But July 4th is for everybody. They also started a new slot tournament. It's free. It's Tuesday. You get the first entry free. You can earn up to two more by playing. And the top prize is actually a progressive that you have to qualify for. So if you win top prize, and it's over 25,000, and I can't tell you how frequently that happens because I haven't seen these machines yet, and you've played 1,000 points since 6 a.m. in the morning to 5:30, then you get the progressive. The progressive goes up $100 every week until it's hit. The maximum it can ever be is 2,500. They have not announced what the reset value is, so I don't know what it's going to start at.
2,500 or 25,000?
2,500.
Oh.
This is a small for free drawing. Good. The Palms. The Palms is having a 176,000 money bags giveaway. They're going to have drawings on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 7 o'clock. Apparently, you can win once. And each of the drawings, you can win up to $4,000, is the way I understand it. They have PEW, Play, Earn, Win. And the early part of the month through the 15th has a memories theme. You can earn a Kodak digital camera, digital picture frames, crystal photo screen, and more. The latter half of the month, they have a timeless theme where you can earn a liquor globe. I'm not sure how timeless a liquor globe is. You can earn a telescope. Is that timeless? I don't know. You can earn a power mat. I don't know where these names come from. But anyway, in general, the PEW is a good deal. It is the Palms' way of having double or triple points because you don't lose your points. And it can be worth up to 0.5%. And for just go ahead and playing. So
when they had their light theme.
Their light theme, yeah.
Yeah, when I picked up all my prizes, I broke into singing You Light Up My Life at the counter.
Did they call security?
No.
Good. All right. So
I don't sing that badly.
I believe that. All right. So there's more I want to talk about the Palms, and we're going to talk about the M, and we're going to talk about the Samstown classes next Tuesday, full pay deuces. But our guest is on the air, so let's talk about Rich and Munchkin. I met Rich and Munchkin in the early 80s playing backgammon at the Cavendish West, which was near Los Angeles. I was a pretty strong player. He was stronger. I was taller. He had put his way through college playing backgammon. Now, he moved to Vegas in the early 80s and worked as a blackjack dealer and later a pit boss at the now-defunct Castaways Casinos. People were glad to see the casino went. They were happy to see that their buffet had closed. He's also a proficient blackjack player and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. And he's in the Blackjack Hall of Fame as much for being a player, but at least partially for being a biographer. He's written about Tommy Hyland in tonight's book, John Chang, who's been a guest on our show, John Francesco, and a few others. Munchkin's book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, records interviews with sports bettors, blackjack players, a backgammon player, and several poker players. Each of the gamblers interviewed has been successful for more than 20 years, and this gives us insight into how and why they gamble. Richard W. Munchkin, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Nice to be here.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, a quick correction. I actually moved to Las Vegas in 1977. So I
met you earlier than I claim. I don't admit to the knowing you 3 years earlier. I refuse.
What years were you manager at the Castaways?
Not a manager. I was a dealer. I broke in as a dealer at the Golden Nugget downtown in Vegas, and I moved to the Castaways in January of 78. In September, October of 78, and I was there until the end of 81.
Okay.
And that people shouldn't confuse that with the Castaways that was out on Boulder Highway later. The Castaways was where the Mirage sits today.
It was one of my mother's favorite casinos. She used to play there all the time from about 82 through 85. That's why I was asking.
Yeah. No, it was actually a great locals club. You know, they had the hole-in-the-wall sports book, and the casino manager was a guy named Bill Friedman, who actually did something really smart, which was understand that casinos are a service business, and he hired the dealers based on their personality and encouraged them to talk and interact and have a good time with the players.
Did he let you keep your own tips?
No, the tips were pooled.
The other would work. All right. So let's get to your book. The first interview is with sports bettor Billy Walters. Regular listeners of this program may remember our interview with Michael Koenig, whose novel Smart Money was based on working with Billy Walters. Some of the things Walters said, though, were scary to me. In 97, the government seized $2.8 million from him, alleging he was a bookmaker. Even after it was shown conclusively that he was a bettor, not a bookmaker, the government refused to give him the money back. This is scary. This can happen to any of us. Now, $2.8 million is going to be hard to get from some of us, but there is some number, whether it's 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, a million, some number that would be scary to any of us, and the government could just go in and take it. Now, the book was published almost 10 years ago. Do you have any further information on this situation, Munchkin?
You know, my understanding is that eventually he did get the money back, although I would hate to think how much he spent in lawyer's fees to get it back. And at the time that I wrote it, he claimed that he had already spent more than the $2.8 million on attorneys. I tend to doubt that, but I'm sure...
Well, in the book you say he spent more than $500,000, which is what the government was willing to settle with him for.
Oh, right. You're correct. But anyway, I'm sure he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees. But your point is well taken that, we're in a business that, is ripe to be basically extorted. And Chip Reese, in his interview, I thought had a great line where he said, just because I haven't done anything wrong doesn't mean I won't have to defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, and since 9/11 and the Patriot Act, these things have gotten much worse. Many, many incidents of people having money confiscated in airports. I had a nephew where they held him up because he was carrying $7,000, which is not a lot of money. I mean,
not for a gambler.
Not for a gambler. Not at all. You know, and as I say, there have been many incidents of the police just confiscating people's cash as if it's illegal to carry cash in America these days.
Yeah, Billy.
And it's not, right?
No.
Oh, of course not.
Although it can be.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah. But they have the rule, the RICO laws, that they were. intended for...
If it's ill-gotten gains, you know, I mean, they did this to go after drug dealers. And right. But what's happened is because the incentive is in the wrong place, often this money ends up going to the very department of the people who are confiscating it. So there have been incidents in Texas, Louisiana, where they just pull people over on the road who are carrying $500 to $1,000, and they say, we think this is drug money, and they just take it, knowing that most people, these people that they're pulling over, can't afford to hire attorneys to get the money back.
And if they were gamblers, there's a reasonable chance they cheat on their taxes anyway, and so don't want to
Although, again, this is another point that Doyle Brunson made in the book, and mm-hmm. Chip Reese. You know, you got to pay your taxes. The professionals that I know that are successful, they pay a lot of money in taxes. Because otherwise, it's too much money to try to hide. You know, you can't just put it in the bank and not declare it.
Agreed.
I have a question for you. You've had access to more of the top pros across multiple disciplines than any other offer I think I've ever read. Is there one quintessential personality trait that all the branches seem to share, or do they all have their own, you know, different indispensable skills?
You know, they all seem to be above average intelligence, and I think all of them have a pretty healthy disdain for authority. There are people who don't want to be told what to do or how to do it and don't want to, you know, get up and go to work at 9 in the morning and put on a tie and sit behind a desk, although they're happy to sit behind a poker table or a video poker machine, you know, but they want to be their own boss.
Hmm. So being a little contrary and fiercely independent seems to be a common thread between all the disciplines, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Ah, well, now we know why my co-host is so good at what he does.
Ta-da, I'm a contrarian. Let's, Stanley Tomchin. He's not well known to the public, but he was a prodigy at many games. Bridge, chess, backgammon, etc. I first heard his name because he was the hero of the biggest cheat at the Cavendish West, a guy named Gabby Horowitz. Gabby's briefly mentioned in your book. And became somewhat better known because he was the ex-husband of Marcia Clark during the OJ trial and stuff. But anyway, Tomchin taught Gabby how to play, and Gabby taught Tomchin how to recognize sleight-of-hand moves so Tomchin could protect himself against unscrupulous players like Gabby. Then, as now, backgammon has had his share of unscrupulous players. Now, of the people you interviewed, Tomchin was the biggest health freak. He exercised several times a week, he ate right, totally shunned alcohol and drug. There is no doubt that this is an intelligent way to gamble.
Right.
But so few gamblers subject themselves to this regimen. If you look to the World Series of Poker on television, not a lot of health freaks there.
Yeah. Although, you know,
Gus Hansen looks like he goes to the gym all day, every day, so who knows?
I was going to say, but again, you know, my experience is that poker players are really different than the rest of the professional gamblers. And certainly in the old days, you would be right, but of the younger breed of poker player, I think a lot of them are very health conscious. Huck Seed is another one, Gus Hansen, Daniel Negreanu.
Antonius, yeah, Patrick.
You know, there are a number of them that are vegans, you know, and
wow.
Yeah, yeah, but
that's hardcore.
But the older generation of poker players definitely, as I say, they are definitely a different breed than other gamblers. And Kathy Holbert, in my interview with her, really, really talked about this, that she found, blackjack players to be super ethical, honest, trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And she moved over into poker and found
the opposite.
The exact opposite. You know, there were a lot of, you know, people who were just, you know, willing to cheat and scam any way they could, you know.
That's actually kind of a part of poker, like bluffing your way through and pulling one over on the other guy is part of the game. So it's sort of related.
Yeah, I guess.
I think the reason the new generation of poker players might be a little healthier is because they've grown up seeing the older generation of poker players not being very healthy. It's that whole cyclical thing of society. Let's see. Billy Walters made a comment that sports bookmakers have actually regressed in knowledge and their ability as a result of their reliance on computers. I have seen this exact same phenomenon in computer service. I think it's because the new generation raised on point-and-click software don't really understand what's going on, you know, behind the curtain. As computers get better, it seems we get dumber. Other than bookmaking, do you think this phenomenon is cropping up in the casino industry, and is it hurting or helping players?
Well, it's certainly affected the pit boss situation. You know, 20, 30 years ago, pit bosses were there to protect the games, and they understood the games and how to protect them. And now the bosses are basically clerks. They're busy running around filling out rating slips for players, and most of them have very little knowledge of the games that they're watching. You know, I love when I'm playing in a casino and I'm playing a carnival game, and the boss comes over to look at the dealer make a payoff, and I see the boss look down at the layout to read what the payoff is supposed to be, because they don't know.
He doesn't know that it's supposed to be 30-1. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So this has certainly happened to, you know, as far as the bosses. Now, that's both good and bad. It's good for professional players, because it's much easier to fool them. It's bad because the casinos, since they've been taken over by corporations, and they don't really understand the games, and they don't really understand variance, a lot of them just get very paranoid and have the attitude, if a player is winning, maybe we should just bar them. And now it costs them money, but, you know, they're a corporation. It's not coming out of the boss's pocket, you know. So many casinos are much easier to fool, but many casinos are overly paranoid and will just throw people out for winning. And by the way, I've heard of people being thrown out of casinos for playing craps, roulette, playing against continuous shuffling machines on blackjack. I mean, for ridiculous things. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, and some video poker players for getting a $10,000 royal on Pick 'em Poker, which meant they were playing a 97% game. So anyway,
it's really interesting, because I'm sure you get this all the time, right? People saying to us how they are tightening up casinos and everything's getting harder and casinos are getting smarter. And what you're telling us, and also what these other pros are saying, is that's not really the case, is it?
Well, it might be.
They're not getting smarter about the games, but you know who is getting way better is surveillance. That's why, for most pros, Las Vegas is the worst venue, you know, in the United States to play, because the surveillance departments, who are very underappreciated by the casinos, because the corporations want every department to turn a profit, and how does surveillance turn a profit, right?
You could sell dirty movies. They
yeah, but the surveillance people have gotten much better, and the communication has gotten much better. You know, 25 years ago, I would get barred on day shift, you know, at the Hilton, and go right back in on swing and have no problem playing. You know, now, if I were to get barred on day shift, I probably couldn't go into any casino on the Strip, you know, because my picture would be circulated within a matter of minutes.
So, if you were going to do a sequel to Gambling Wizards, which I'll generously and creatively suggest you title More Gambling Wizards. Now, who would you include? And I'm not here fishing for a compliment, so let's leave off the discussion of whether or not I would make the cut.
You know what? Actually, Bob, you would, and because my interest is to expose to people that there are all kinds of different ways to be a professional gambler. You know, that's why I tried to include so many different aspects in my book.
So who else would you, or who? What other types of gamblers would you
include? Well, okay, so definitely video poker, a video poker player would be, you know, in another book if I were to do one.
And if you need anyone to represent Video Poker Progressive teams, I would, of course,
volunteer, huh?
I would.
I don't know that this is a volunteer job.
I would probably include somebody who played both video poker and slots. But another thing I would include are some of the people who went into banking games in California.
Uh huh.
When the card rooms got the Class II gaming where they can't bank the games themselves, some of the smart blackjack players rushed in and filled that void, and started banking and made millions and millions of dollars doing it. That would be another avenue that I would go after. I'm not planning to write another book, mainly because it's great. My intent in writing the book was actually to try to bring me full circle back into the entertainment business in Hollywood.
Did you succeed at that?
I got many meetings and it came of nothing. So, it's great to be able to say I've written a book, to be able to say I've written two. Not really any extra.
You were a producer, right?
A producer and a director, mostly a director.
Really? When you get a chance, check out my website. That's what my father was a movie producer, writer, and director.
Ah, okay. I will look at that.
Chip Reese, he died a few years ago, was one of the best all-around poker players, among other things. In a book, he tells about when he comes to Vegas as a young man, barely out of college, and he sees some players playing for black chips, $100 chips, guys like Doyle Brunson, Johnny Moss, Puggy Pearson, and guys who were considered the very, 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 very best in the world. But this particular game that they were playing was one Reese had played in college. He thought, I'm better than these guys, so I can play. So immediately when he gets to town, he jumps into the biggest game and cleans up on it. I find this incredible. How do these things happen? I mean, Doyle Brunson isn't the best.
I love that story, actually. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, all those players were hold'em players. They came out of Texas. They played no limit hold'em. That was the game that they excelled at. And at that particular night, they were playing seven-card stud high-low split. And if you're not used to playing that game, it's very possible that they were playing it badly. There are, even today, some of the top pros, they specialize in specific games, and they may play other games really horribly. And this is another thing that where poker players are very different than, other types of gamblers. Poker players seem to have a lot of leaks. How a professional gambler can go out and blow millions of dollars at craps or, betting on sports with no edge is beyond me. But poker players do it all the time.
It is bizarre, isn't it?
It is bizarre. So that particular game, those guys, they wanted action, so they played a game that they thought, all right, here's a game that'll spark a lot of action because nobody really knows what they're doing, and they all knew how they all play hold'em, but
so this young college kid comes up and cleaned
them out.
Interesting.
I mean, and the people in the progressive slot team industry are so tight and so focused on just the one thing. There's no peripheral activity of gambling of any kind. Matter of fact, that kind of leads into my next question. It seems that the programmers in your book started out gambling at, in some cases, ridiculously young ages, betting on quarters bouncing off the wall for football card, baseball cards. I mean, just crazy stuff. I never even thought about gambling until I was 21 and didn't do it with my own money until I was 24. I mean, how common is this starting out at an early age? And is this something you're seeing in the professional gamblers as a common trait, that it's just in their blood from infancy?
Very common. And actually, when you were asking me about, what did these people have in common, another thing is most of them, if not all of them, were games players from the time they were very young. I mean, I started playing chess when I was 3. I didn't play well, you know, but I played. I played board games and card games, and, you know, I played gin rummy when I was three. And, yeah, so that was very – it wasn't about gambling. It was about playing and winning, you know. I mean, you're playing a game of skill even if you're not betting any money on it when you're 5 years old or 6 years old,
yep.
You know.
That's my experience,
too. Yeah, I think
it's
the love of the game.
Huh. I just, you know, I don't want to make this interview about me, but that is exactly contrary to my desires. I hated games because I didn't enjoy winning. I didn't like beating people. But anyway, yeah, it's a fascinating book. I wish you would do another one.
Yeah, well, I actually had started on a book called Blackjack Wizards that was just going to be about blackjack players, and many of those interviews are available online. You know, if you just search them, most of them are at blackjackforumonline.com.
So that's never going to be in book
format? I would never say never, but, you know...
You would always say not likely. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I really love the book I wrote. It's a book that I would immediately buy if I saw it in a store because it's what I like to read.
Yes.
But I probably earned about, you know, $2 an hour writing it.
That's better than some of my books.
you know what I mean? It's like a lot of work for not much reward.
I agree. This is now... one of your interviewees is Mike Sabatny. I met him at Cavendish West, where I met you. He would come and he would play backgammon against our best players, of whom I was not one of them. But he was personal and gracious to everybody, including me, who was a club-level pro and not nearly in his league. Now, he won the World Championship at Monte Carlo, is considered to be a top player. And yet he's gracious to everybody. Was he the most personable of your interviewees? Billy Walters would be kind of smooth and personal too, I guess. But
yeah, you know, first of all, Mike is a great guy. And anybody is going to have a good time, you know, sitting and talking with Mike. And you know, he's certainly got outrageous stories, you know.
Yes, he does.
Everybody was personable. Tommy, I think, was one of the more difficult ones. Just, I don't know how your interview went with him, but, you know, fortunately, I had known him for so many years that I knew the stories to ask him about.
you knew about the Bahamas, and you knew about Canada, and you knew about...
Yeah, exactly. Mike is a great guy. And Mike, I think, you know, they have a thing now in backgammon. Both you and I, Bob, have been out of backgammon for a long time. But they have this thing now called the Giant 32, where they get players around the world to vote on who the best players in the world are. And, you know, I think, you know, Mike makes the list of the top 32. But if you asked who's the best backgammon gambler in the world, I think without question he would come up number one on everybody's list. He has a way of extracting money out of people that, you know, that other people just can't do.
And it's through niceness. I mean, it's not deviousness. It's nice.
It's the niceness, and it's also a big part of it is he's willing to gamble with people. You know, most backgammon players are like a lot of, you know, progressive slot machine players. They're nits. A lot of backgammon players. They don't want to do anything that isn't going to give them some little edge. Whereas Mike is more than willing to take the bad side of a proposition, you know, just to get people playing. And he doesn't mind, you know, if he loses some money at that to, you know, grease the wheels or whatever.
I'm glad you used the word nits. It's it's a gambling term,
right.
And all throughout your book, these your interviews were clearly tape recorded, and then you transcribed them. And so whenever they would use a gambling term, you would have a little box and you'd define it. So those people who don't speak gambling ease, by the time they read the book, they're pretty savvy on a lot of these terms.
Yeah, there was a few in there that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, some of them are, you know, particular to a specific branch of gambling, you know what I mean? So I'm sure as video poker players you have terms specific to that that would befuddle me, you know.
I guess I must qualify as a nit. Just about a year ago, in pleasant conversation over dinner, somebody said something to me and offered me a bet. And I said, well, if I was a gambler, I'd take that. But and I wasn't trying to be funny. That's the thing. I really didn't think of myself as a gambler, and I don't ever bet on anything other than, you know, playing high progressives.
Well, you know, I mean, playing a game like backgammon is like playing pool or something like that. It's not just about the game. There's a big social aspect to the game. And actually, that's the reason I got out of it. Because to be successful at gambling at backgammon, you have to really play against some awful people, you know. And I didn't like taking money, especially from people who clearly had, like, a gambling problem. You know, who are punishing themselves. But if you're trying to make a living, those are the people you have to be playing.
That's true of poker, too. You've had some success at poker.
Yes, yeah. I went through college playing backgammon and poker. Primarily my gambling has been at blackjack and casino games.
Hmm.
You wanted one last question for him?
I have one last question, but I'm willing to save it for last. Did you have one before?
Well, we're running out of time.
We're running out of time?
So,
all right. Well,
so give it your best shot.
This one, if you don't have an answer, it's no problem, Richard. One of the things that I was really shocked about, because I went through this 10 years myself, I was surprised to read that almost every single person you interviewed went through an existential crisis at one point or another in their career where they actually questioned the, you know, social efficacy of their chosen profession. Chip Reese's account, I thought was, you know, most closely mirrored my own. Mike Sabodny made a reference to feeling less useful than a garbage collector.
Garbage collectors are very useful.
Indeed. Indeed, they are extremely useful. Have you ever gone through something similar, and what was your resolution?
I certainly went through it. But actually, but not for long, because to me, gambling was just a method of earning a living so that I could pursue the things that I loved doing. I mean, I mm-hmm. love gambling, but, you know, I was my degree was in theater. I originally came out here to be an actor, although I found that wasn't what I wanted to pursue, and I liked working more behind the camera. I needed a stable income like gambling because the movie business is so precarious.
Oh, no, I agree with him completely. Well, gambling is the most stable income I've ever had.
Oh, well, I agree, but it's people go, oh yeah, I need a stable income, I gamble. Sounds
well,
funny.
But yeah,
but I understand it. I understand what you're talking about.
Gamblers, you know.
Richard, we're going to have to let you loose.
Okay.
And I know you're going to be back on the show again. We love to have you. Very pleasant interview. Very good book. If you haven't read it, go out and pick it up. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you so much, Richard. It seems like we have a lot in common, surprisingly. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Wow.
I like him.
Background in
theater,
in the theater, motion picture industry.
You found a soulmate, huh?
It certainly looks that way.
Okay. Good. Well.
Isn't it weird how many gamblers question, you know, it seems to be everyone I've talked to has gone through like a little, you know, at least a 2 week period where they went, you know, here's all this money, but should I really be doing this? It's kind of funny.
Well, yeah, it's a useless thing to be doing. If you're bright enough to be winning at gambling, then you're bright enough to make some kind of contribution to the world. And extracting money from a casino is not a very useful thing to be doing. But so, yeah, a lot of us go through something like that. But whatever your profession is.
Oh, yeah.
Postal workers go, they have their existential moments, too. And garbage collectors. Oh, anyway, everybody does. I'm not sure that's unique to gamblers. Waste disposal technicians.
Yes, that's the new euphemistically.
All right. So we haven't talked about the M.
Oh, yes.
So what are the M progressives like this week?
All righty. Well, first off, I was around there playing quite a lot this week. And
so if the progressives are down, that's because you hit them all.
That's not the case. I didn't hit any of them.
Oh, okay.
I've got two roll cycles in, and I've not personally hit one yet.
Uh-huh.
However, I'm still trying. The quarter jacks are better is at 2,505. The bonus poker quarter is at 2,393. And the bonus poker deluxe is at 2,170. We do have some pretty high dollars. Well, the highest one is $11,067. That would be the deuces. The bonus poker deluxe is $89.80, and the double bonus poker is at $87.75.
So several of those are over 100% before you include the slot.
Yeah,
button.
Now, if we had done the same thing yesterday, there would have been two over 13,000 and one over 15. I think two or three hit yesterday. There was two or three hitting in the 14 and 13,000 range on Monday and Tuesday, and Saturday, three large ones also hit. It was probably more and larger dollar progressive jackpots hit at the M this week than have hit in the rest of Las Vegas in the last year. It was a pretty incredible week.
And they're going to get back up there again.
Very soon.
They added 10 more machines.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so now there's no worry that you won't be able to get on a seat. Even when it was crossing 15,000 yesterday, there were 12 open seats.
Out of the 20.
Out of the 20, uh-huh. So if it gets up, come on down. You shouldn't have any problem getting on there.
Good. And what's the population of the quarters? Are the quarters usually busier than the dollars? I would think so. More people can afford quarters.
Would you believe me if I told you I didn't walk over to that side of the bank?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Ignorance is bliss.
I was busy.
Okay, good. All right. Good. Next Tuesday at Sam's Town, 1 o'clock, full pay deuces wild class. If you're a quarter player and you want to play one game and one game only in Las Vegas, probably full pay deuces should be it. The class is in the Red Rock room. I'm hesitant to say that because the Red Rock room is in Sam's Town. It's not in the Red Rock Casino, which is 30 miles west of there. So, anyways, upstairs at Sam's Town near Shepler's.
So don't Google Map it, or you'll be off by 30 miles.
Yeah, well, but you're in the right city, I guess. One of the things we didn't get through at Palms was talking about their slot emporium. Their slot emporium is where the Overflow Poker Room used to be, and so they have a number of slot and video poker machines, whereas if you hit the top jackpot, you get whatever prize is on top. And so they have they have 8-5 bonus poker in there, which is their loosest game. So that's almost 99.2%. But for dollars, the prize on top is $750 cash. On some of the machines, or $750 Macy card, or $750 something else card. So you put that together, and it comes out basically the same return as 9-6 jacks. So those players who you can play 9-6 jacks for a quarter 10 play, but dollar 5 play is twice the coin in. So you can get quite a bit more in if you're after coin in for the PEW amounts, or you have a double point coupon and you want to get the most coin in. They do not give the same number of drawing tickets. The drawing tickets for the drawings, it's slightly different every time they do it. But they give different amounts for slots than they do for video poker. So slots get lots more drawing tickets per dollar bet, primarily because the casino makes more money. But however many tickets you earn on a video poker machine depends on the lowest denomination on the machine. So the quarter 10 play, since there are penny machines on that box, this gets the highest number of tickets. So even though you're playing quarter and 10 play, $12.50 a pop, you're still getting the most tickets per dollar bet. Now on the dollar 5 play at the in the Slot Emporium, the lowest on that particular machine is quarters. And that's either you get half as many tickets or 40% as many tickets, depending on which month the drawing is.
It seems kind of a bizarre way to do it.
It does. It is bizarre, and I think that's the right word for it. It's been doing it for the last several GMs. They don't really have a GM there now, but they do have a new president.
Do you have one of those really cool experts? Like, remember last week we talked about the coupon, and I didn't understand why 25 for 15,
Made more sense made to more the casino sense to, than, yeah. than giving everybody $15.
Do you have one of those really cool explanations that will just let us know why this point thing is? On this one, you're perplexed as well.
Well, it's kind of like somebody had a great idea. Well, there's been turnover at the top there. Mm-hmm. So now they have a brand new president, a man who came from Hard Rock and previous to M and previously casinos in Laughlin. And I don't know. And so there's been several others recently. Huh. So whoever made up this idea is long gone. Unless, of course, it was George. George is still here. And they just kept going with it.
Looks like we got about 2 minutes to the bell.
All right.
I did have a restaurant review for Veloce Ciba at the M.
Good.
I went and ate there after a long play on Saturday. And, ooh, gosh. Little Buddha might be dethroned as my favorite, like, eclectic Asian restaurant. Last time I ate at Veloce Ciba 6 months ago, it was very expensive in comparison to what you would get at the Little Buddhas at the Palms. But they seem to have lowered their prices, particularly if you like to drink sake. The alcohol prices are actually less than what you'd pay at the Palms. And obviously the view.
The view is spectacular. So
the view is spectacular.
16th floor, and they count legally. They don't skip 18 floors.
So. Quality of the cuisine and the fare, as far as flavor and taste and all that and presentation, was very comparable to Little Buddha's. I wouldn't say that it was better or worse, but the view was amazing. The entrees are slightly more priced than the comparison restaurant at the Palms, and the alcohol was slightly less priced.
Little Buddha's is higher noise content.
It's a little louder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I certainly do love Little Buddha.
Shirley likes Veloce Ciba primarily because we can get to it without going through the casino.
She
has health concerns, and so we can get to it from the outside. And
it's too bad we're running out of time because I had wanted to talk about some of the crazy things people think about the M Progressive, but we'll save that for next week.
Very good. Go out and hit Royal Flushes. Lawrence, hold up some fingers. How much time do we have? 12 seconds.
I'll sing Memories. Memories all alone.
Can we make time fly?
Oh, sorry. All right. Well, this is a good show.
Very good.
See you next week, Bob.
Today, we're taking our microphones down amongst the populace to get the word on the street to see what people are thinking and saying about gambling with an edge. You, sir, have you heard of the show Gambling with an Edge?
Yo. You talking to me, huh? You know who I am? Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Sorry to have bothered you, sir. How about you, sir? Do you listen to Gambling with an Edge?
Well, howdy. Gambling with an Edge. No, can't say that's familiar. You're my good-looking feller. What say you and me saunter over to the local trough, rustle ourselves up a couple of low-mileage puffies, and build them a memory?
I'm sorry, I have no idea what you said. Thank you for your time. Excuse me, sir, do you listen to the radio show Gambling with an Edge?
Yeah, listen, yeah, I like to listen late at night when I'm alone in the dark. It's good. It's very good.
I don't think that's our show, sir. We're not on late at night. I'll just be moving on. And you, ma'am, have you heard of our show Gambling with an Edge?
Hello. Yeah, I like it very much. All those rich wives are very nice. I think Adrienne Maloof, she's the prettiest.
I think that's Beverly Hills Housewives, and that's a TV show, ma'am.
Oh, right. Well, you know, I keep my radio on my telly, so sometimes I get confused.
How about you, sir? Do you know the show Gambling with an Edge?
Duh, I love this show. You're from show? Is much pleased to be meeting you. Bob and Frank, they are very, very good. Never miss show. I have no life. I sit at home, drink vodka. Much vodka. Perhaps, if not for show, I kill myself.
Well, thank you for listening, and good luck to you. Well, there you have it, folks. The word on the street. Gambling with an Edge. The first choice for clinically depressed, suicidal Russian alcoholics. For an archived version of tonight's show, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com and BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the M, the South Point, the Palms, and Silverton Hotel and Casinos, as well as the website videopoker.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next Thursday night at 7 for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity. You already know Facebook is great for communicating with family and friends. But did you know it's also great for communicating with your favorite radio station? Search KLAV 1230 AM on Facebook to see all the great programming KLAV has to offer. And when you like us on our Facebook fan page, you're automatically entered in future contests for fabulous prizes. Like us on Facebook today and meet the KLAV host. Search KLAV 1230 AM on Facebook. Love us on radio. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
I'm Mark.
Listen up.
And I'm Jessica.
Word up.
And we're the Jerks.
Keep it real.
We've got the Jerk Show every Tuesday through Saturday right here on KLAV AM 1230.
Westside.
Listen every day and your life will be enriched.
With 10 gigawatts of radio waves that won't behave.
Or you'll go insane.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
Yeah, that too. Midnight to 3 on the Talk of Las Vegas.
Hi, this is Steve Crowley, our national radio program, Steve Crowley's American Scene. We're 21 years young on the air, and the real news, the good news, is that American Scene is airing now right here on KLAV AM 1230, Monday through Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Our programs help you survive and prosper through up and down economies. So join us for Steve Crowley's American Scene weekdays at 10 right here on KLAV, the talk of Las Vegas.
Hey, it's Schnitt. Thrilled to be on the air in Las Vegas on KLAV 1230 AM, the talk of Las Vegas. Join me every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. If you're tired of the same old blah, blah, blah talk radio in Las Vegas, then tune into the Schnitt Show. Las Vegans, if you want to hear a brand new, fresh opinion on conservative political talk, keep the dial locked in on 1230 AM KLAV or listen to me live online at KLAV1230AM.com.
My name is Kevin Sipes, and I host Energy Saving Solutions every Monday morning at 9 a.m. I am a ResNet certified HERS rater, a BPI building analyst professional, as well as a USGBC lead green associate. Join me and our special guests every Monday morning at 9 a.m. on KLAV AM 1230, where we will be discussing topics including energy conservation, building performance, energy independence, and living a greener, more sustainable lifestyle.
This is Dr. Robert Earle. I'm a local dentist here in Las Vegas and have been practicing dentistry for 35 years. We want to invite you to join us every Tuesday at 2 o'clock for a new show called Dentistry Today with Dr. Robert Earle. We will be answering questions and talking about the latest technology in dentistry and giving you the answers to your questions about dental concerns.
Dentistry Today with Dr. Robert Earle, Tuesday afternoon at 2. A learning disability means you're finished, right? Wrong. Introducing the Never Give Up Show, brought to you by the Never Give Up Foundation, hosted by Matthew Cox. The Never Give Up Show is about letting go of your fears and breaking the shackles and stigma associated with learning disabilities. And life coach Matt ought to know, he himself was diagnosed with a learning disability. Now he's a motivational speaker with an advanced degree. This is powerful radio. The Never Give Up Show, Tuesday afternoon at 4.
Hi, this is Brad Snyder and Joanna McFarlane, new host of the radio program Our House, the Zipper Realty Radio Show, every Wednesday at 11 a.m.
On this show, we will offer you insider tips on what you should know about the real estate market before you make your next purchase or sale. On Our House, we will talk all things real estate, from finding the right house, what loan is right for you, all the way down to home safety and decorations. We may be in Las Vegas, but when it comes to buying or selling a home, it shouldn't be a gamble.
Have your questions answered here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Our House, the Zipper Realty Radio Show.
I'm Scott Ashton.
And I'm Amy Ayoub.
Join us Wednesdays at 6 p.m. for the hottest new talk show, The Las Vegan. All positive, all the time.
Tune in for positive stories from the movers and shakers in our community who are keeping Las Vegas the happening place it's been for over six decades. You'll hear from business people, elected officials, casino industry leaders, and your favorite charities.
Help us promote the Las Vegas we love. Email your stories to scott@thelasvegan.com.
Join us every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for The Las Vegan. All positive, all the time.
Hi there, this is Sammy Hagar here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. Now, style's a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody else's business. Please, plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate. Because friends do not let friends drive drunk.
Love us on radio. Like